Welcome to episode 397 of Texing, hosted by myself, Justin Vincent, and the very interesting Jason Roberts.
Very interesting. Well, that's a euphemism.
Interesting, yes. An interesting chappy. Tell us about all the interesting things going on for you, sir.
Yeah. Well, I need something a little more specific than that, I think, to go off of. What do you want to know about?
I'm interested in Math Academy, as always. I mean, I'm always interested in Math Academy or your Project Superhero or...
Why don't we start with you? I feel like we start with me all the time.
Really?
What's up with Lightwave?
Lightwave is going great.
Nothing.
What do you mean, what's up with it?
So nothing is happening.
No, that's not true at all.
You haven't done shit. You haven't done shit in weeks.
Oh, no. Okay. So I have been doing a lot. So, okay. So first of all, I released the link list update, which was like a huge update, mm-hmm. and just changed the entire fundamentals of the whole system, mm-hmm. and got that pushed out, I believe, last week, like about a week ago, I got it pushed out just before I went to the Modern Teacher Conference, which has kind of knocked me out for a week. Mm-hmm. So that would have been like last Wednesday or something. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be fine. And you guys, like, there's 7 core users. You're one of them. Have you noticed any obvious bugs?
Well, it's the same bug that I've talked about before where you try to go to the next line or whatever, and it kind of...
Oh, I know that. Yeah, that's not related to that issue. That's just...
I know that, but that's the only bug that I noticed day to day where I'm like, oh, yeah, right.
It's an annoying bug. Yeah. So
it's kind of an inner loop thing for me. It's like I'm constantly, I have a big list and a lot of indents and stuff. So when you're deleting and moving stuff up and down and you're between sort of, I don't know, indentions or whatever, and you go up and down, I don't know what, I can't remember what the exact trigger is, then it'll happen.
All right. Well, I'll look at it sooner.
It's not a deal breaker.
I didn't realize it was so common.
It's very common. It's mildly annoying, but it's not a deal breaker.
Got it.
That's why.
Because all the other benefits that you get from it,
I can't use this fucking thing. I mean, if it was deleting my stuff, I'd be like, fuck this, you know, or if it just freeze the page and I have to refresh or something. It's not nothing like that. It's just kind of like delete and it doesn't move and moves the thing up. I'm like, okay.
Edification.
All right, you people.
You've got an empty node that's high up on an indented list, and you press delete, right? And then it knocks it down to the bottom because it thinks it's tabbing. It's out tabbing. That's what the problem is. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I can fix it. It's not even a hard fix. So
yeah, I will.
So, obviously, I've been thinking long and hard about the next phase, because the next phase is going to be live collab. So on the flights, I downloaded just a great deal.
Justin, I lost you there.
Did you? Maybe we'll turn
froze
off.
Up.
Okay. Shall I turn video off?
No, I think it's fine. As long as you're just going through hotspot, probably. You're probably fine. It's harder to talk when I can't see your face, right? It's easier to interrupt and talk over
you
each
other.
You love
this face?
I love your fucking face.
You have to see it.
It really owns the space. You know what I mean? It's just like
you gotta see this face.
It's like this rectangle, and it's like you touch all sides of it. It's just great. What's up with your hotspot? Is your hotspot taken over? What's going on?
No. I was wrong about that. It is on the right network. Let me do a speed test. Can you do a speed test for me real quick? I've got 300 down and 31 up.
And you have 60 down and about 19 up.
So we should be issues here.
Well, let's just keep going.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So where was I? How much I love your face. Love your big face. Okay.
So what I was saying was that obviously it's going to be moving to Node. I want to use Express. Do you use Express?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like it's the most bare bones vanilla, I guess, routing framework.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Node, so I guess, basically just to carry the routes. I mean, it's not like it's that amazing. It's not like you couldn't rewrite. You know, I actually wrote my own in the very early days, my own routing system. I mean, it doesn't have all the middleware, you know, crap, but, you know, it's not that big a deal, but it's fine. It's very vanilla. It doesn't do a whole lot. I mean, you can have plugins on top that go express plugins that do these other things, but it's fine.
So that's what I wanted to tell you is that, because I had like a pretty lot, like, each way to get to Hershey, Pennsylvania, for whatever reason, from Burbank Airport, it's like 3 flights. So a lot of time. Have I lost you? You're looking at me. Okay.
What are you talking about, Hershey, Pennsylvania? I don't understand what you're talking about.
So I was in Hershey, Pennsylvania for the Modern Teacher Conference. That's where I was last week.
I thought you were in Vegas.
No.
Oh,
Hershey, Pennsylvania. So it's 3 flights to get there, 3 flights to get back. So a lot of time.
Jesus.
So what I did was I basically downloaded a lot of tutorials about Node, JS, Socket.io, and watch them for hours worth of them.
You stopped again.
I think we need to turn the cameras off.
All right.
Yeah, I think we need to turn the cameras off. Sorry.
Okay.
Pain in the butt. You won't be able to see this lovely face.
Yeah. Okay.
Face well, maybe free. I'll leave mine on, and you can leave yours off.
Okay, let's try it. Okay, so you downloaded a bunch of tutorials.
A bunch of tutorials. And what I want to say is that there's one guy who I cannot recommend enough, a guy called David Gray, who is, he's about my age, but he teaches in a way.
Like what, 70? What?
He teaches in a way that.
He's a half a decade into retirement.
He teaches in a way that is really like fundamental. So he always thinks about the fundamentals first. So everything he's doing is like telling you what he's doing. So if he's opening up a terminal in VS Code, he's like, okay, I'm hitting command backtick to open the terminal, you know. And in
I don't think fundamental is the right terminal. Well, he's very specific, very step by step.
Also, specific and fundamental. So that's what I was just about to tell you. So in his explanations about Node and JS, like Express, the first three lessons are dedicated to building your own web framework. So it's like, okay, we'll do 3 lessons. This is how you'd build a web framework. Mm-hmm. Now we're gonna use Express, and we're gonna show you. So you don't need to build your own framework, but it's good for you to know that. You need to understand the basics.
Yeah, and it's the same reason why it's always great to build your own, write your own string and socket classes in C++ or whatever, you know, and then you throw it away and you use a bulletproof, you know, open source one or whatever.
And so he did exactly the same thing with socket.io. Like, so mm-hmm. a couple of videos on like actually how to just write basic raw web socket stuff. And then, you know, the socket.io. So it's just really good. So David Gray, I recommend him. If you're interested in reviewing, you know, or learning something new, he's good. So yeah, I've really been thinking a lot about Node.js and socket.io and Express. And is it EJS, the templating system? I can't remember the name of it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, there's more than one. That's the one I use. I mean, again, yeah, it's like a vanilla bare bones
of course.
Templating system.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
Hold on a second. Let's take a step back. So you were all PHP and Laravel. So what made you want to switch to Node?
Well, because I think for collaboration, I know that with Laravel, I know it can technically do it. But it's not exactly built for it in the same way as Node is, you know, and Socket.io. And that combination, it's extremely proven. And you proved it back in the, you know, when you first started working with Uber.
We never did that kind of stuff. It was all just request response.
Oh, really? Well, I used it. For Modern Teacher, you know, for the live in classroom learning experience. So I used Node.js and Socket.io, yeah. And mm-hmm. And it was great. It was obviously great. So basically the teacher could control all of the kids' tablets. And so it was a single page web app. Each tablet was going through a single page web app. Now, of course, it was a super complicated system that I built back in the day because it had the whole local server piece. So basically we had relays from like the main cloud servers through to the local servers. So each local server had its own Node.js system. But anyway, this is a lot simpler than that.
So Did you look into Laravel support for WebSocket and Live Collaboration? Do they have any modules or plugins where everything would? Because I know like Rails, I think I've read that Rails has stuff like that where they're like, you don't have to worry about moving. You can do all this in Rails and we have a hot live, whatever, something that'll do all this for you. Laravel didn't have anything like that?
Laravel had it, but I was pretty skeptical about it to do what I wanted to do. I think I was right to be because I looked on the internet and looked at a few different discussions about it, people who'd use both stacks or whatever. And the consensus consistently seemed to be that, you know, the combination of Node.js and Socket.io is just much better for it.
So that's just very natural, whereas PHP it's kind of, you know, wedged in there. It's not natural. It's gonna be a little more painful somehow.
Exactly. Yeah. And given that, you know, I've done it before, it's just a sort of refresh in a way.
Okay.
And it's nice having the rooting stuff, and it just feels lighter, you know, it just feels lighter. And I'm doing barely anything on Laravel, you know. I mean, all I'm doing is just one sync request. I've just literally got one API request and registration pages.
Okay.
Like, so there's nothing to refactor in that sense, you know. So you're
not giving up much by moving over to Node.
No.
I mean, there's a little, you're not going to be as fast because you don't have the same kind of muscle memory and you don't have like snippets of code you can cut and paste everywhere, but you're good with JavaScript, so it shouldn't be that bad.
But I'll be gaining, I think. So and plus also it will be nice because obviously with fast Node and fast doc, it would just be much more natural for those things to be running on the server. Because like, let's say for example, I want to do page materialization, you know? So if I was using PHP and Laravel, I would have to write a whole new stuff to materialize page on the server. Whereas if I'm using Node, and then it's just the same code base.
What's page materialization? I don't know what you mean.
It means like when someone, like serving a page that's inside someone's notes. So like, because that page has to be rendered from cold nodes have to be put together, then it has to be turned into a fast doc with all the fast nodes, and then using the existing system rendered into HTML, that's all happening with JavaScript.
Okay, so it's just a rendered version of the page.
Correct.
Okay.
Rendered.
Okay.
Sorry for using big words.
It's just a little out of context. Like, what's a materialized page? Like, okay, rendered.
Well, you
page,
can
okay.
blame you. I think you can blame. I'm gonna pass the blame off to Veraptor, who I've been speaking about this with, and that was his terminology. So I was trying to be clever like him.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you did it. You got it. Clever.
Okay.
And you confused me.
All right.
I mean, I figured that's what you meant, but I had never heard anyone use that terminology, so I didn't know if it meant something else. If you were, so I'm gonna just clarify things. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you're off to Node. You're off to Express. Socket.io. So now what?
Okay. So I hired someone on Code Mentor to just go through the setup, the Node setup, and it was really easy. I mean, honestly, we did it in half an hour, and got the basics of routing. And I already knew what to do because I'd seen various tutorials. But still, I kind of wanted someone to just be there when I was doing it. And it just reminded me that I do really like pairing with people. Like, I really miss that from back in the day with Modern Teacher when we were building stuff.
Yeah, you've always talked about that.
You know, it also reminded me of the success that you had with Guyon. You know, like, you would have your daily sessions and you would pair and you would have great momentum, and you would drive and he would be there, like, and so you'd make good decisions. And so I've been thinking a lot about that and how to get back into that situation. Now, I got very kind offer from Emra to do that. And we did a few sessions, but I felt a bit bad. He's like a super high level dev, and I'm just like using up his time, you know? So I sort of felt, okay, I need to see if I can find a way to do this that's sustainable where I can actually pay for it. And it's the person that I'm paying is getting value and that I'm getting value out of it. And that, it's not like me essentially taking advantage.
Yeah. Well, if you're asking a favor over and over again, that gets a little tiring for people. I mean, even if people at first are really happy to help and generous, the first time it's totally fine. Second time's mostly fine. Third, after a while, it's like, okay, so I gotta, you know, they start. You can tell they're starting to feel a little bit of obligation fatigue. And then you're feeling guilty about it. You want to feel like, I don't want to feel guilty about this. Can we do it tomorrow? Can we do it Saturday? How many hours you got? You know, you're just like,
yeah,
you know, and it's just nothing to feel good. Everybody's had, you worked out a you know, a transaction. And yeah, I think that's the way to do it. I mean, it's fine if somebody wants to help you through a couple, you know, sessions, or someone's, you know, happy to be generous, and that's nice, and a thank you or whatever is all they care about. But beyond that, yeah, I don't like relying on that either.
Right. So what I'm thinking is, I mean, obviously I have, you know, day jobs already, and, you know, pretty busy. So, but I think that like 2 hours a day, I could make some real headway. I mean, I can do 2 hours a day by myself, you know, I can do that, but if I can get someone to be there for 2 hours a day, I just think it will help for really consistent progression, and it'd just be a better experience for me. You know,
just don't partner up with somebody, please.
No, I got it. Yeah.
Please don't do that, because we've gone down that road about 30 times and it never works.
Right. So this will be paying for
just
someone. So
yeah, just pay them.
You know, I've put out a job post on Upwork, and I got way more responses than I expected. You know, obviously many of them not great, but a couple of them really good.
Yeah.
And for an amount that I can afford, you know, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, on a consistent basis.
That's a lot. I mean, pairing for 2 hours a day is a lot. I mean, that you get a lot done. It's also kind of exhausting. It's extremely efficient, but it can be a little exhausting, because, you know, you get off, you're like, whew, you know, because you got to stay focused the whole time.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. You can't really take any significant breaks, or you feel like you're just wasting their time or wasting money or whatever. And so it's not like you're in a pair for 5 hours a day. 2 hours a day, you're going to get a ton done. And then, you know, at least with the way Guyon and I worked, I mean, we worked anywhere from like an hour to maybe two and a half a day, yeah. 4 to 5 days a week. And I would save just certain things to work together with him on, and then other stuff I'd be like, I'll just knock this stuff out on my own. This is no problem. But there's stuff that was kind of, there was going to be a lot of judgment involved, a lot of refactoring, some really, you know, technical cleverness or whatever. Then I'd be like, I'll save that and kind of knock that out together. And so, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that you'll be like, this is just kind of dumb. There's no point in pairing. I can just kind of do this. Right?
Yeah.
I can validate this form or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, why would I refactor? So that you just kind of save up as much of the more interesting, challenging work for the
pair. Yeah, I know. I completely agree. I mean, and there's a lot to think through. I just agree with that. And I think lost my train of thought.
You seem like you're tiptoeing around in this. Are you having a hard time talking? You feel like you're just kind of like you're talking kind of quietly, and you're kind of like...
No, there's a couple of things going on. Okay. For some reason, there's like a frog in my throat. I don't understand what that's about. Okay. I want that to go away. The Wi-Fi situation is complete shit. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I've got two really good people. One of them is... I kind of need to make a choice, but I guess I'm going to have to pair with them both to see what to do. But one of them is like a younger, I'm going to say mid-20s, whip smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is like a seasoned sort of solopreneur style guy. And I guess that the way that I wrote my job post just appealed to people. So I wrote it out in code. I wrote it out in code and like with functions. So like it was a piece of code. And then I put like a little Easter egg at the end, which was a base 60, which required base 64 decoding.
Okay.
So I guess that's why I got some good response. Good respondents.
Well, how much are these guys charging?
Well, so should I say that if I'm gonna, you know, potentially be working with them and talking about them? I don't know if that's, you know, they want to.
Okay, give us
out.
The range of the good people. What are we talking about here? I mean, these guys are public. You mentioned a name, I mean, going Upwork, and the price is public. Right.
I mean, it's
you
true.
Know that, right. You know that, right?
Well, no, no, because you know, they may say $75 per hour on their page, but they may be interested in the job that you've posted for like $25 an hour.
Okay. Well, give us a range of what you're willing to pay for this.
I'm gonna max out at like 35 an hour.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that's a really good deal. So if you could get something between 20 and 40 bucks an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. That's exactly. Great. Especially if the person is, skilled and has reasonable availability and, you know, there's not a language or time zone barrier that makes it really painful somehow.
Yeah. Exactly.
And these guys are they native English speakers or what?
They're not English, but they are like
not English, but are they native English speakers?
Completely or? Fluent English speakers. Yeah, both of them.
Okay, yeah, because that's completely obviously fluent. Important. Yeah. I've seen people. I mean, I have people who work for me who write in a way that you would think that they were native English speakers, but then it's very difficult to actually converse with them.
Oh, and yeah, no, that would be, I mean, that would be a deal breaker for me. No, they can just speak as well as you or I in that sense, in that English sense. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good.
So it's great. You know, so it's just like, I mean, obviously there's pros and cons for someone who's like, just like a 25-year-old, you know, really eager, like, just thinking through stuff in from that perspective. I mean, he's still been coding for 7 years, so he's got like a decent chunk of coding under his belt. But the other guy is like 17 years, like does tutoring, like builds open source software. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so they're both very good and it's different vibes. So I'll just have to sort of work with them to see which direction to go in ultimately.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, see, it's awesome that you can find something like that.
Yeah.
Right? Or find people like that. And is their availability about the same?
Yeah. Yeah. They can both do what I need.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. Great. Well, so then what? You're going to focus on the collaboration? Is that sort of the next big project?
It's going to be, I'm going to say first of all, there'll be like a 1 to 2 week phase where we're just sort of walking through the code. And you know, diagramming it, and just sort of so that everyone understands the code. Then there's going to be probably another design phase where we just have to conceptually really design the way that permissions are going to work, the way that collaboration is going to work, exactly some more of the details of the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And then that probably be at least 2 weeks, I would have thought. And then we're going to get into building. The first part is going to be building just basic CRUD stuff, like, you know, your registration, your permissions, just all the infrastructure stuff. And then it's going to move into the lot because you have to have that underpinning before you do the collaboration. Because collaboration just is really based around that, all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's going to be for the best way to say this is it's going to be fully baking the product. That's what it is. It's going to be baking this product.
So you don't feel like it's fully baked right now?
It is fully baked for a single user, except for one thing, which is the actual UI to input all the different styles. So like I said, I want to do the UI like pages where you have on the right-hand side, you know, for every single line.
Sort of
you
toolbox
can
change panel.
Yeah, toolbox. Mm-hmm. So that would be the last piece to fully bake it as it is. But I think that for a collaborative system, it's, you know, it's got that whole other stuff to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
So yeah, there's been a lot of work going on. It's just not visible to you.
Right, right. Well, usually when you're doing stuff, you're talking about it on Discord.
That's
right. When
true.
You're quiet, that means nothing. That typically means nothing is happening.
Well, no,
yeah,
that was...
yeah. Especially with working out. If you're not working out, we're not hearing about it. Right. So if you're working out or you're talking about it. If you're monitoring your diet or you're doing your diet, you're talking about it. If you're working, if you're making progress in code, you're talking about it. When you're silent, that means you have gone off the rails.
Yeah, not this time.
Right? Well, you were quiet. You weren't doing much because you were away. I mean, you did a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, speaking of, do you want to talk about your superhero? Or sorry, JV Fitness is really
I mean, there's not much to say other than I'm doing it. I'm doing the work, you know?
You're doing, well, you've been doing a pretty good job of doing your 30 minutes a day on the cardio.
Yes, right? Exactly.
So that's good. And you're averaging around 120, 100, low 120s. and your heart rate. So he's kind of like low in the low end, low range end of zone two. So are you, you're going to before you start pushing it any harder, you want to have an appointment with a cardiologist?
Yeah. So I've scheduled an appointment with a cardiologist, which is going to be on April the 1st. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't evade my notice that it is April Fool's Day.
Right.
So I really hope that everything goes all right there. But yeah, I mean, but also, I mean, you know, I'm staying a lot near the end of zone three for my age. So, I mean, zone three is 1:30, right? That it ends at 1:30.
I don't know. I thought zone two was like 1:18 to 1:35 or something like that. 1:32 or something for our age, I thought.
Oh, no. I mean, so because I was running some stuff past ChatGPT because you've been saying, you know, about 1:20 is nothing, and I don't think that's right. Let me just have a look for what they're saying here. For a 55-year-old male, 220 minus your age, which case is 165 beats per minute, is max.
Theoretically, right? It's rough. It's not always accurate. Not super accurate.
So,
but okay.
You 70 to 85% of your maximum heart rate, which is what we're talking about, is 116 to 140. 140
right,
is
the... Right, 120 is on the very low end of that.
Right, so but what I'm saying is like a lot of... I'm getting up to the 130s quite a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think... yeah, and so my point of what I was just saying is that you want to, over time, try and be pushing that a little higher. You know, just for cardiovascular, for two reasons. One, for cardiovascular fitness, right? If you're at the low end of zone two, you're not doing a whole lot of cardiovascular. You might burn some fat. I mean, it's good to build a base. You got to do something.
Right.
But you need to also spend, you know, time in the higher, you know, higher ranges, you know, even much higher than that in the, you know, 150s and even in the 160s. Not a lot of time, but a little bit of time.
Okay.
Like 20% of the time you need to be kind of doing intervals and or
you know, I will do that. Like I just want to go to the doctor and get them to do the scan that I'm not going to have a heart attack if I
Well, I did. I was the one who told you that in the first place. So you don't have to tell me. I would say, you know, cuz well, it's the one thing that everybody's, you know, the Discord, everybody's like, "Oh, you know, Justin, you must be like you have a heart of an Olympian." I'm like, "Guys, he has bradycardia." Okay? It's not you're talking about two different things. It's like there's high blood pressure and there's normal and there's low blood pressure. Low blood pressure does not mean you have amazing blood pressure. It's a different condition, right?
Right, right.
Low heart rate when you're completely out of shape and not exercise does not mean you have this amazing, you know, cardiovascular system like you're some kind of triathlete. It's a different condition that can be dangerous if not monitored or managed. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm just repeating what I've read, you know, because when you talked about it, I went and did some research on it. And I'm like, this doesn't sound right. I think, Justin, you need to like just, I mean, at the very least you need to check in and have somebody to say, it's totally fine. Don't worry about Google says your heart rate. Yeah, you have a low heart rate. As long as you're not having any symptoms, don't worry about it. And hopefully that's what they'll say. But the smart thing is at least have somebody take a look at it and be like, yeah, you're either fine or you're fine, but if X, Y, and Z happens, then you need to take a step back and talk to us.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if you look at I posted my 6-month average heart rate that Apple iPhone keeps track of. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going up. So it like hit an all-time low in November of 40, an average resting heart rate of 40, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, that was, if you think about it, 2 months before then was when I started doing my big walks, my 40-minute walks mm-hmm. every day. So basically, I've brought a lot more exercise into my life since that stage, and it's now averaging around 50 to 55. So it's up, you know, it's generally up. So I don't think I'm trending down. I think I'm trending up.
Your resting heart rate is 55.
Yeah. Yeah, 55.
That's really interesting. So as you get in shape, you're moving it more towards a normal range.
More towards a normal range, exactly. My resting in November, my resting heart rate was 40, and then if you like, so you can just sort of see that over November, December, January, February, it's like a pretty consistent upward trend to around 55.
wow, that is really interesting. So like when I got really out of shape and I wasn't doing hardly anything, I mean, I'd work out a few days a week and kind of half-ass it and whatever. I mean, my heart rate would get up to like a 67 resting.
You're resting?
66, 67. And when I got really out of shape over the pandemic for a few months and I basically just didn't do anything for like a lot of people, you know, I spent like 5 or 6 months just, you know, watching Netflix and, you know, doing whatever. My heart rate, I think it got around 70. And so I go in the opposite direction, right? Yeah. Like most people. Like most people, when they get out of shape, their resting heart rate goes up, right? And your resting heart rate goes down. So it's away from this sort of normalish range. And, you know, when you're talking to these guys who are like distance runners, like if you talk to like actual endurance athletes, I'm not talking about like professionals, but even people who are like committed amateurs and they run 10Ks and they train 4 or 5 days a week and they run, you know, I mean, they can get their resting heart rates are pretty low. They're in the 40s. But those are, again, that's a result of doing lots and lots of endurance training. But,
Yeah. Anyway, it's all weird. But again, I cannot stress how good the Bowflex Max is. So when we went to, when we were in Hershey, Pennsylvania, I just had like a regular elliptical machine to work on. And oh man, it was just crap compared to the Bowflex. And like, I guess, and I know why now, it's because like the elliptical essentially is just really a forward and backward motion. And you've got like, I would say at a max, like 5 inches vertical in the motion.
Mm-hmm.
And so like to push hard, you've got to do a lot with your arms. But your arms are nowhere near as powerful as your legs. Whereas on the Bowflex, it's like a 12-inch vertical. It's at least 11 or 12 inches.
It's closer to a stair stepper. It's kind of more of a mix of a stair stepper and elliptical.
But it doesn't feel like a stair stepper because that's really hard. You know, that's just almost too hard and just focuses on your knees so much. So it focuses on your overall structure, but it's just there's way more resistance up and down that 12-inch you know, rise.
See, that's interesting because when I use two different ellipticals at the gym I go to, just to get a variety, just so I'm not pounding on the joints in the same angle because I, you know, do a fair number of minutes, I'm constantly alternating the resistance. Right.
Yeah.
So like I'm pushing it up. So what I'll do is I'll do like a certain amount of time at a lower and then I go higher. And then I'll just like really get my heart rate up there, you know, or depending on the day, some days of my day, it's kind of a light day and I might not get my heart rate above the kind of high 130s or low 140s, where other days I'll push it up into the 160s. But I kind of cycle in and out of these intervals, but I do it by increasing the resistance. And then, of course, if I really want to push, I push the RPMs up and I just go hard. So
yeah.
you found that hard to do on a normal elliptical? It doesn't feel natural to you?
Well, it just doesn't feel natural because I don't think, first of all, my arms don't have the muscle that your arms have, right?
Well, yeah, actually, a lot of these machines, I don't even use the arms. It's all legs. Like some of the machines have arms and some of them have like an arm motion and some of you just hold on to the handles and they have like a heart rate, like a metal thing to measure your heart rate.
I mean, I don't know that the Life Fitness is so flat. It was like the legs are just not doing very much work at all. So maybe it was just the quirkiness of the specific Life Fitness, but it did seem to be the top of the line with.
But the thing is, did you just keep the resistance at like level 2 or something or 3? Cause
I put the resistance up to level 14. I was at.
Huh, that's weird. Okay, well,
level 14. But whereas level 1 on the Bowflex Max, I'm in the zone just within a couple of minutes. Although today, even that is now getting harder to get. Like I guess I am getting fitter because it's getting harder. It's getting harder to get my heart rate up, generally speaking, which is kind of annoying. That's not what I want. I want it to be easy, but you know.
Yeah, well, you just got to push harder, man. Well, what you should be doing, I think, like once you get the okay from your cardiologist. Is I'd just be pushing. I would set a goal for your the total calories that you burn, right? So it's like, okay, you've been hitting low fit at like start for 320 and then 330 and then 350. But you can go hard and easy days, right? Like you can kind of alternate. So, okay, today I'm going to go 350 and then I'll do a 320. And then, you know, then maybe, you know, as you get more and more shape, you're like, I'm going to do 375 calories today. And then today I'm going to take it easy and just do 310.
Just so you know, I've been thinking about that. And I mean, you're going to say no to this, but this is what I've been thinking.
You're going to go hard every day.
No, I mean, I could easily double this, what I'm doing.
In terms of time or in terms of
time? Effort? Yeah, time. So I could easily double this to like a 500 calorie burn per day.
Well, I by no means think 300 is like, you know, you're too much work. What's more important for you is adherence and that you don't quit.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, what I don't want to hear from you is after 2-3 weeks, like, oh, you know, I got busy and I just couldn't afford an hour on the thing. So I just didn't work out for 2 weeks. Like, dude, like, you don't have to spend an hour, you know, just, you know, do a half hour, do 30, 40, just get something in, right? You know, don't let the great be the enemy of the good kind of thing, right? So, mm-hmm. And my sort of, what I've been encouraging you to do is just establish the habit so that not doing it feels really bad. Like, oh man, I got to work out, right? Like you, so if you just do it to a level where it's like 30 minutes is not that big a deal, right? It's hard to say, I don't have half an hour, you know, it's hard. Although yeah. It's not hard to say, I don't know if I have an hour right now. Right. So it's kind of like, let's establish the habit at a lower level. And then over time, increase the intensity and increase the volume. But just to clarify, you don't want to go hard every single day. You want to kind of alternate between harder days and easier days or something like yeah. that, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it all depends on your goal. But it all depends on like, and when people talk about this, they're like, well, how hard is hard, right? So if you're 130 heart rate versus 120, I mean, that's all pretty easy, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you're pushing it much higher than that. It's like, okay, if you're like really burned it out and you were just like huffing and puffing and red faced.
But does that like burn, like it's just incurate, like is it better to do, to keep sort of shooting for like 10 minutes of really high? Like does that burn like way more calories,
no,
kind of thing?
Not really. No. I mean,
this is good for respiratory system.
Yeah, it's good for your heart and respiratory system. You will burn more calories. For sure.
Yeah, but just not, right? not it's not exponential.
But like you'll see these people now, but like you try it. Some of these, like someday, one of these days when you're filling into it, after you get the okay, push out and try and get like 400, 450 calories. I mean, I don't know how many you get, but let's say you do it to where you come afterwards and you're just like, Jesus, right? You're just out of breath and see how many more calories.
Oh, I do that right now. I mean, I like if I was sticking at the same level of like a 120 mm-hmm. heart rate between 120 and 130, I could do an hour right now. I mean, I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about intensity.
The intensity. So let me just tell you what I think about in my mind about the intensity. What's so weird. I'm just thinking about my heart, right? Which already, like, if you think about the natural like rhythm of my heart is just like gugum. Gugum. It's like mm-hmm. this giant, crazy, slow thing. So then it's like, I'm just worried, like, does it even have the suspension system to deal with going to like 150? Yeah. I'm just like, shit, maybe this thing's gonna break, you know? So that's the reason why I'm a bit nervous about going above the 130 too
often. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, you get the doctors okay and all that kind of stuff, but you do want to, if you go harder, you will burn more calories, right?
Yeah.
But you don't want to go hard all the time. And, yeah. And there's a certain amount of just sort of base building, and it's also just kind of like you burn yourself out. So it's like, but some of the time you want to push it up there. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, if you're going moderate or high, like you might burn 20% more calories or 30% more calories going high, but that takes a lot out of you physically, right? Where the moderate you caught off, you're like, no big deal, right? Georgie's like, okay, hurry up, like finish it up. We're going to have dinner. And you're like, you know, we do the moderate. You're just like, okay, boom. You take a quick shower and you're in. You do high. You're like, oh, I got to sit down for like, you know what I mean? She's like, what's wrong with you? You're like, you're totally blown out, right? So you can't be doing that every day. That's why you have to kind of, you know.
Would it be too much to say one more thing about my health journey?
Let's hear it.
Okay. So you posted a video on the 16th mm-hmm. of February mm-hmm. and I watched it and it sent me down an interesting rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. I had no idea whatsoever that metformin, the main drug that I've been taking, has this very negative impact on the use of protein and building muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And the video that you posted went into that pretty deep. And then I went off and did some pretty deep research about that. And there's like a major correlation between this, the mTOR pathway,
mm-hmm.
and metformin. And that's a big reason why it sort of does what it does. So the thing is I had always thought that the reason why, for example, like opening jars or something like that, ever since I've had like diabetes, it's almost like overnight that it was harder for me to open jars. I was like, what the heck? Like, this is really weird. And getting like pains in my arms and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got a theory that like the metformin itself is sort of just making me weaker. You know what I mean? And I mean, that's not just
But you weren't taking metformin for a long time, right? I mean, you had diabetes for a long time without taking metformin, as far as I recall.
There was like about a year. I think most of the time I've taken metformin.
Oh, is that right? Because I remember the early days, yeah. You're just like, I don't want to take any medication. I want to do it through diet.
Yeah, no, I did. I've mainly been taking it. Like that's pretty much the one consistent. But what I'll say is that any time that I did well, I went into the doctor. Various different doctors would say to me, "That's you. That's not the metformin."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So, what's really interesting is that I think that that metformin itself has ended up as like a little crutch in my mind. It's like, okay, I can have this donut because I'm on the metformin. So I stopped taking metformin on the 16th, and really, there's been very little change in my blood sugar since then. I do feel basically stronger. I mean, maybe it's just psychosomatic, but I just feel stronger. I mean, I'm just flexing my arms right now, and it's just a different situation. I can't describe it. And like the aches that I've been having playing table tennis or whatever, they've gone away, and like the aches of my hands have gone away. I'm just feeling way better since going off it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a thing I wanted to bring up.
Well, the reason I gave you a hard time about that is that, you know, it was almost like an Onion article. It's like, man reads, sees video, goes off prescription medication without talking to doctor. So far, all good. It's like, well, I mean,
but consider the point of metformin. The reason why I take metformin is to keep my blood sugar down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't really affected that. You know, I'm pretty much exactly just as much at the edge of my range since the 16th as I was when I was on metformin.
Okay.
The only difference is I'm actually eating less stuff that's bad for you.
Well, what happened? I mean, so you've just, because is that why you're not losing weight even though you're exercising, is because you've just been kind of off your diet? Because what made me think that you're off your diet, not only is you've not been losing weight apparently, because otherwise you'd be posting it, but also you've been posting your diet, what you've been eating. Did you kind of fall off?
I have literally gone up weight. So I was at like, when I think like two shows ago, I was at like 209, and I weighed myself yesterday. I was 213.6. And, you know, but I would not say that I've been eating anything crazy or anything like that. All I would say is I've been very consistently having protein directly after my workout. And I've been very consistently not eating carbs. I've just done a lot of vegetables and protein, and so I don't know. But what I will say is that my general, you know, looking in the mirror or whatever, I mean, I look better, like my body, not my face, because that just doesn't change. But my stature.
Well,
seems
what
to
have
be
you?
Better.
Are you measuring your waist with like a measuring tape?
No, I need to get that. I did have one of those, but Jack broke it.
Because the mirror is. I mean, people say the mirror test, but you can also just be lying to yourself. Like, oh, I think I look pretty good, and then you're like, oh, actually. You know,
it's true.
I mean,
you know, as you
know.
Said, I'm just literally going on Amazon and ordering one of those things because I'm just going to be like, I mean, I feel too much better for some positive change to not be happening. It just seems really bizarre, like, because I'm totally not overeating. I mean,
are you tracking
totally
your
not.
Calories?
I'm not tracking calories. So
you're not tracking calories. Like, you're not doing Coach Viva, right? And you're putting on weight and you think all's good. I'd say no. I'd say you're overeating. Is what I think. I think you're overeating. Because you were down at like what, 206 or 207 like a few months ago.
No, I wasn't. I was 209, wasn't I?
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, the 3 pounds or 3.5 pounds is not a big deal. I thought you were at two. I thought you had a low at like 206 or 207. In which case, 6 or 7 pounds is not, you know, especially if you're not eating carbs. If you're, it's not nothing.
No, I was at 209, and you said, "Oh no, you're lower than that. You're like you. That's probably just glycogen or whatever." And I said, "No, I really think I am 209."
Okay. And well, I don't know. Okay. So yeah, I obviously don't know, but I would, yeah, you need to get on the Coach Viva thing, man. You pay for it. Track your calories. That's your key. You got to track this stuff. You know, you can't just be like making this stuff up in your head and making up stories about what's happening when, you know, you got to track and adjust. That's kind of the way. In either, as I've said before, either count the calories or eat the same, count them once or twice and eat the exact same thing every day.
All right. Like I do. We are 48 minutes into talking about Justin's health. So let's change. Let's move.
Moving on. All right.
And by the way, don't title this about Justin's health or something like that. Just you know, when you come up with a title, you've got to come up with a title that's going to make good artwork.
Okay. I do my best, man. Sometimes it's hard to come up with a decent title. It's tough.
Because we talk about so much bullshit.
All right. Well, let's go. Move on.
Okay. Well, that's me. I'm in Lightwave and health.
Okay.
That's me.
So what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about links? Do you want to ask about Math Academy or?
Let's do Math Academy.
Okay. So let's see. What's the latest? Yeah, I mean, we're kind of holding steady in users.
Okay.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, yeah.
Word of mouth and churn are kind of balancing each other out, more or less. The bank account is filling up, which is nice. I was like, you know.
That's cool.
I don't know what it was. I think Sandy, it was like close to 50,000, and which was like.
Yeah.
You know. A big difference from back when, you know, I was like always running at zero and I was constantly having to like refill it like every week. Every time Upwork would be like, okay, we're about to charge your account. I'm like, oh crap, I got to throw money in.
So you run everyone through Upwork?
No. No.
Some people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah. And so, you know, so whatever. So Upwork and then, you know, like I pay Alex and Justin directly. And, you know, so with those payments are about to go through, I'd always have to be like, you know, checking the bank account. But so it's nice that it's kind of filling up a little bit. Ideally, I'd like to get to the point where we have like, we could run for a year.
That'd be great.
Running out of money. I remember reading that about Microsoft like 20 years ago or however long ago it was and how they had like a year of operational cash in reserves at all time.
That's like the dream.
Yeah. So, I mean, some people would say, well, it's inefficient because, you know, you could be using that to grow, but I'd play it a little more conservatively. I just think, you know, when you have money in the bank, you're not at the mercy of anything, right?
Yes.
You're very robust. You're hard to kill. And that's.
Yeah. Even market conditions.
That's right. Market conditions go bad. Economy goes bad, you know, whatever, you're still okay. Otherwise, you have to start laying people off or, you know, cutting expenses to, you know, cutting out something or having to go raise money, having to go hat in hand to try and raise money, which sucks.
What is a year's cash burn for you? Like $500,000?
No, it's not that high.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, it's not that high. But
okay, that's good.
I mean, I'm not going to discuss all of my finances.
No, here, of course.
But
of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's I mean, we're pretty damn efficient, but it's still, you know, I got a team of people. So, but, yeah. So the big thing we've been working on is getting, the system ready for the methods of proof course, which has these, you know, kind of different format questions, which are like imagine like a text question that has a number of drop downs kind of embedded
in
it.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it.
So That, and then of course you could have sections of it. So like the second section doesn't show up until the first section is completed correctly, and then the third section doesn't show up to the second. So it's like if you have this long proof, you don't show the later parts because you don't want to give away too much information early, so they can easily kind of interpolate, right? You want them to have to think a little more deeply.
Do you use, sorry, tangent, do you use socket.io for any of your stuff?
Not like at the moment, no. Uh-uh.
Okay, got it, yeah.
No, I mean, there are things we might use it for, but I don't have a need for any kind of real-time updating of, okay. any, of anything. So, anyway, so... Alex and his team have been working a lot on the methods of proof course, and I've had to rewrite a lot of UI code to handle that, which I talked about before. I did a lot of work on that earlier over the summer, and then Justin has had to rework the model to be able to handle this stuff, because now in a situation, right. Before a question would either be marked correct or incorrect, and now yeah. it has more of a fuzzy, it's like this, it's a range, right? Because
yeah,
like you get
yeah,
some
yeah.
right.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, get some right, get some incorrect, get some correct, get some incorrect. And so you have, so that changes everything. So that was a big reworking of the model from him.
Yeah, I saw Justin's explanation of that in Discord
okay.
about why it was going to take some time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and one thing I realized that I had to do is so you don't want to have these question answer sections. You have it on like within a lesson, you have it in reviews, you have it on quizzes, you have it on diagnostics, you have it in reference mode. I have like five or six different places where questions are rendered and answers are sent to the server and explanations are rendered and all this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
We have stuff on the content development side for previewing and all this stuff. And sort of like eight different places, and it's all different code.
Yeah.
All different code. And it's complicated. And it's one thing when it was just all multiple choice. I mean, because initially you just had a couple places and it was slightly different. So it's like, okay, well, you have A through E and blah, blah. Here's the question, here's explanation rendered. You know, it's like not a big deal. But then when you have we have like five different formats now. And some of them are quite complex. The rendering is quite complex. And the evaluation on the server side of whether something's correct or incorrect is complex. And so what I've done is I've created what I call a question widget.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
then gets embeds and renders itself on every page. So when we want to make some upgrade to a question format or some behavior or some UI thing, then everything gets, obviously I don't have to do it in like seven different places.
Nice, nice.
So it's kind of funny when you look at it and you're like, if somebody came and looked at this, you'd be like, well, Jason, why did you write this? Like, this is all different everywhere. And I'm like, well, it's just kind of how involved.
No, I totally get it, because you're working on one thing at a time, you're getting it out, and this is exactly the time when you make that decision. It's like, otherwise you're prematurely
generalizing,
scaling. You know, it's
well,
just
it's
like
premature generalization.
Optimizing.
Well, it's premature generalization, which is different than premature scaling or optimizing. I mean, it's like you have two instances of something, so you're going to create an abstraction generalization.
Exactly.
So it's like,
exactly. Yeah.
Usually it's better they have a handful. It's better to cut and paste. And because what happens is there's enough differences that when you generalize prematurely, you just get it wrong. And then nothing works very well. And it's a total kludge. It's like if you just say, well, it's custom work in every page. They are kind of similar in a lot of ways, but there are differences, whatever. And I just have to change it multiple places.
No, I think it's good. But I completely concur with that way of doing things. That's the way that I work as well.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, the users don't give a shit, right? They just want stuff to work. And but what happens is if you at some point you don't generalize, then it's like, Yuri will say something to Software Channel, hey, it'd be really great if the question thing did this. And I'm thinking to myself, God damn, like, that's like eight, like, that's going to take me a long time because I have... Not only have I changed in all these different places, but it's like I got to be really careful because this is the inner loop, right? Like, I can't have this thing blow up on a quiz. And then you have all these people getting really upset because their quiz messed up or their diagnostics. Yeah. And people like this cannot have an error. This cannot go wrong. And so when you're changing code that is going to
ruin an experience for people if things go badly. You can't just like change, oh, that's a 20-minute fix. No, that 20-minute fix is going to not only take 20 minutes, we're going to take like half a day of thinking and testing and being really careful. Okay, I really think this is going to work.
That, it should be covered by tests, though, something like that, right?
No.
Like
no, because there's UI stuff that has nothing to do with like a test. That it's like, you know,
Smoke tests.
No, it's sometimes it's about how something rendered, how it looks. Stuff rendered, right? Okay. I mean, this stuff is all UI stuff. So it's like, that stuff is not going to cover the bases. It's like, okay, so yeah, it doesn't blow up. Great. Like, it looks like crap. This thing's half hidden behind this other div or didn't show up or whatever. It's like, you really need to go through it under all these different conditions and make sure that it is operating the way it's supposed to.
Who does that? Like, is that you doing QA or is that someone else? No, like, does Sandy do QA? No, I mean, who does it?
No, it's me. Yeah. No, I do all the QA testing. So, or at least for the UI stuff. I mean, I just test it and go, okay, I think this will work, you know, and then we go with it. I mean,
yeah,
it's just too time consuming otherwise. I mean, it's not too often that I screw something up or I push something out and or if it is, it's pretty minor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not worth, you know, I mean, there are occasions where, you know, I almost did that with Justin the other day. I was almost like, you know what? After I upload this, I want you to go through and test it. And then I actually told him about that. And then I was like, ah, screw it. I've tested it thoroughly. It works. I'm confident. Like, it's just a waste of time. You know, we need to focus on doing other stuff.
I wanted to ask you a question about Discord.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see like some really good conversations going on in Discord. And so it's like the Math Academy channel is like its own little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your opinion on having the Math Academy inside Texing versus like making your own?
Well, I don't really consider this the Math Academy Discord, right? This is just like Texing listeners who happen to use Math Academy.
Well, but there are new people coming.
There's a few people, but it's not really. I mean, we don't advertise it. Most people don't know about it. You know, it's only some. I think it's only a small number of fellow tech geeks who somehow meandered here, you know.
Okay.
I don't, you know, this is not the, yeah, I don't view this as the Math Academy Discord by any means. It's just, yeah, it's a...
Will you do it? Do you think you'll, like, ever sort of spin it out and have a separate Discord for Math Academy?
We might, yeah. I mean, at a certain point, yeah, probably. I mean, I've thought about that at times. I just haven't worried about it because it's not that big a deal because it's only, like, a handful of people really communicating.
Okay.
Right. I mean, there's a handful of users who ask questions. Occasionally somebody new will come in and have some questions or something. And yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, I think Sandy has had a very, she's hesitant about this stuff because she's seen like Facebooks and stuff get really, go south and become really toxic.
Okay.
Right. And then you just get, you, things just kind of spin out of control. And within Texing, I mean, you have a lot of people who know us personally, having listened to the podcast and they're like, they are, giving us the benefit of the doubt, right? They're treating us like friends. So it's like, if something doesn't work right or something is confusing, they don't get mad and start thinking that we're evil people or there's some conspiracy. It's like, hey, Jason, FYI, I think it was a little slow. I think you need to look around. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'll take a look at it. Or, you know, it's very good faith, right? When you get in a situation on somebody's message boards and stuff, you get a lot of people in there who do not give you any benefit of the doubt and think that you're,
you know. I've seen that.
Yeah, and it's like, who wants to deal with that? So Sandy's always been very like, yeah, no, I just say hesitant to have to deal with that because you're like, oh, just like create a thing and everybody can comment on it and talk. It's like, okay, well, you know, because sometimes you get two or three people in there who are kind of negative and things just spin out of control and you get a lot of nastiness, right?
Okay.
Whereas she'll just get an email directly from somebody, and if somebody's frustrated about something, it's a one-on-one with her, and then she can sort it out and everything. Yeah, but I think when you get into a group setting where it's not us, and somebody complains about something and we're not on top of it because it's a different time
zone. And someone else answers.
And then somebody else who happens answers. To be, yeah, that's it. And they were blah, blah. And all of a sudden you get this pile on and you're just like, Jesus Christ, you know? So I don't know. I'm not as worried about it as she is. And I'm not sure how worried about it she is, but she has said that at different times. You know, she's expressed her hesitancy.
I mean, I wouldn't get hugely worried. I mean, maybe because there's money involved, that might be the reason to be worried. But for example, the indie founder, you know, community has like 600 people in there now. And I mean, there hasn't been anything from, you know, bad. Like no one said anything bad and they get their
email once a week. What's the indie founder thing? What is that?
Oh, you know, I remember, like, so I created a new, so I
oh, right, you rolled up your Nugget stuff into Indie Founder?
Nugget stuff into Indie Founder, and so now there's 13,000 people on the list, and I send out one email a week with, like, 5 ideas, mm-hmm. and just to keep that list, you know, so that I don't only speak to them once a year, it's like, it's a real warm list. Mm-hmm. All the people who were going to report it spam or, like, unsubscribe, they've all gone. Mm-hmm. So now it's actually essentially engaged people. Mm-hmm. You know, 600 of those guys have joined the community. There's chats going on every day and there's almost nothing bad. I mean, one guy came on and said, I'll sell you phone numbers for $1 for anyone on LinkedIn. I'm like, okay, I don't really want to enable that. Mm-hmm. So I just like banned his account. I just took off a second, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, I think there probably is a difference between something that's free, a free community, versus people are paying. And I mean, I'm probably going too far into it because it's probably not really an issue, and it just hasn't been something I've worried about dealing with. You know, I mean, Sandy handles all the customer support, and we deal with everything directly. And other than a few comments here on Discord, which, you know, Justin and Alex will sometimes hop in and deal with it, or other users will sometimes, you know, kindly.
But I mean, it's I'll just want to say that was the kind of the point that I was making, is it's great good discussion on Discord. Like, it's really good. It's really helpful.
Mm. Oh yeah, you like it? You know? I mean, well,
I think so. I mean, I think the people like it. Like, they're like there's something that comes up a lot is, oh, I didn't understand why was it saying this? Why was it saying this? And then Justin will jump in and then they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, so they're really understanding, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but there are other times when they say, oh, this was difficult to understand. I think you could teach it differently. And Justin's like, yeah, I get what you're saying, you know?
Right. So, right. Or Alex, I think Alex was probably the one.
Oh, sorry, Alex, not Justin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a fair point. It's probably one of those things that we'll get to, eventually.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's sort of, along those lines, this morning, Sandy was, I woke up and she was kind of in a bad mood, and I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, I know these customers asking for a refund. And she's like, it's so annoying because, you know, it's past the 30 day, you know, they have been using it and then they claim they haven't, and they want, you know, it's like, it's kind of like they're bullshitting you and they're asking for money back just because they just didn't use it. Right.
Yeah.
You're like, well, dude, like, oh, I didn't watch Netflix for the last 3 months. Can I have my money back? No. Oh, I didn't make it to the gym for the last 2 months. Can I have the refund for that? No. Right. I mean, it's an unfair question. It's not, you know, and it's just, and when you ask, it's like, yes, Netflix, or you ask, you know, Equinox or something, if you get money back, and they're like, that's not, you know, but when you send an email directly to Sandy, then she feels bad. Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a presumptuous, entitled thing to ask. And it puts her in a, you know, in a bad situation, because it's, you know, we're clear on time. We're very, very generous with the automatic money back with 30 days. You cancel 30 days, you automatically get refunded. You don't even have to ask us. But if it goes beyond that, whether you use it or not, you know, it's up to you. And you have the ability to cancel, your ability to pause, right? And yeah, it puts her in a really, really bad mood.
You know, I used to feel like that, but ultimately one day I just figured out that there's just always give a refund and don't worry about your own self, because it's just going to put, this is my way of thinking about it, and you're going to say this is probably total bullshit, because it is, but
yeah, it's bullshit. I can tell you right now.
It just puts, but the thing is, it just creates no negativity in, you know, out there about you.
So anybody, so just, for any just, unfair reason, ask for the money, just give them their money back. Here.
I mean,
oh, can I have the money? We haven't used it for the last 6 months. Can we just have our money back?
No, not that. That's too
much.
That's what I'm talking about. If it's on the cusp of, like, let's say they were like 5 days over.
We do that all the time. I'm not talking about that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about someone to come in and say that, well, they really haven't used it for the last 3 or 4 months. Could they have the money back?
Oh, no. That's very, very annoying. Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's too much money.
It's too much money, but it's just obnoxious. Yeah. Because it's like, dude, you get emails before you're going to get billed from Stripe to remind you, right? You get update emails from us.
But I have done that. I have. I refunded someone 2 years of Plugio.
Why? Why would you do that?
Same reason that I just feel bad. Like when someone kicks up a real stink about it and they're like, oh, I didn't notice it. It was like being billed. I'm just like, okay, I'm just, you know,
push over.
Whatever. I mean, it's not, I don't know. I mean, it's just like,
yeah, being a pushover.
But like 2 years is a big hit.
Yeah. Well, I'm just like, no, that's not happening. That's what Sandy's worried about. I'm like, that's not happening. No. You know, it's like, because they're operating in bad faith. They're operating in bad faith and they're asking something they shouldn't ask. It's unfair, you know?
Well, I think that's definitely true in your case. But in my case, it's like PayPal who's like billing them, and PayPal doesn't make it very clear. You know, in this specific one I'm thinking about, like PayPal didn't make it clear. So they were being billed for 2 years without their knowledge.
Okay, well, that's different. You know? That's different. But if they're getting an email every month before their subscription to remind them that they're going and they've been using, or they even did use it a little bit. And then they claim, you know, it's like, dude, what are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right. So anyway, that was something that kind of had her in kind of in a bad mood this morning. And I was just like, well, I said, maybe we should, maybe the first person we should hire is like a first line of customer support, just to sort of shield you from having to deal with that. Because as her husband, like, I don't want to see her in a bad mood. Right. So, you know, that would, it's in my interest.
Happy wife, happy
life. Exactly. Like I mean, selfishly, but also I just don't want her to be unhappy. Right. And she's like, no. She's like, I think that's wrong. I think you were right from the start. Cause I told her about the conversation we had, and you're just like, oh, you know, just go to Intercom and have a Q&A. She's like, you just got to make the product better. We got to make it more clear. We got to, take more videos and getting started. We need more stuff to keep people engaged and informed and motivated and everything else.
I didn't say just go to Intercom. So that's a rewrite of history. Like I don't say things like that. I say things like, look into this.
No.
Have you thought about
it? No. Well, no, but no, you were like, oh, I think you should, you know, I think, well, you said, I think Gabe had a really good idea. You should, you know, Intercom, you just do this. And I said, you know, okay. But I said, really, I think the real thing is not spending a lot of time on, you know, on making customer support automated. The real thing is to make the product not have customer support. The real solution is removing friction, removing confusion, removing frustration, you know.
Yeah.
And Sandy's like, that's what she agrees with. I think it was on Twitter. She mentioned this morning there was some founder or something was talking about, like, the best founders do customer support. And she's like, I agree with that. She's like, even though it's, you know, painful at times and frustrating, it forces you to deal with all the issues. You cannot hide from the issues, because someone is annoyed, frustrated, confused, now it's your headache. Right.
Oh, couldn't agree more. I mean, that's yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So, so the thing is to fix that stuff. So one of the things we did, this just did a quick one. She wrote up a thing for, we already talked about, like, you know, I think cancellation and pausing accounts, but we even have like a refund policy in the FAQ. And she's like, I want to be real clear in the FAQ. And she's like, also, I want a second checkbox when they sign up that refunds are only available within the first 30 days, you know, with a link to the terms of service, which covers that. You know, and
that's smart. That's smart. Make people really think about it.
Yeah. And I think, and I told her, I said, well, I think the other thing we should do is send a drip email within the first week or two that talks about pausing, canceling, and refund policy.
I still think, you know, even with all of this, you're still going to get these kind of, this kind of issue because people are, people are people.
Yeah. 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 You can't eliminate it, but what you can do is reduce it. Right. It's a lot easier, you know, it's a lot easier to be, to say no when you say, well, you checked the box when you signed up, you saw that it's on our terms of service, and you received the drip email that explained this.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Like,
makes sense.
You can't make me feel bad because you had every opportunity. If you weren't using it, you were reminded about it, you're going to build, like, you had every opportunity. Right. And at a certain point, people can't really have.
So they can't even buy without the checkbooks. They can't even it's grayed out.
No.
It's grayed
out. Right. You can't. You got it. You know, yes, I've read your terms of service. I'm over 18 and I've read the terms of service or whatever. And yes, I understand the refund policy, you know. So I added that today. And she's just like, just to kind of, you know, to try and reduce that from happening.
Okay.
Cut it in half, cut it down by 2/3 or whatever. And.
Okay.
I think that's a lot of the thing that stuff that you want to do is that, yeah, you can't, customer support never goes to zero, but maybe you can get it down to, maybe you can continually cut it down so that it's a third or 20% of what it would be if you hit all the right, you have all the right drip emails and all the right pop-ups and all the right, you know, user interface elements.
Okay, cool. What were we talking about? Well, it's probably time to move on anyway.
Okay.
To next topic.
Okay.
And I know that everyone's dying to hear about why you're doing boy band pictures in the superhero the superhero channel. Like,
you mean
what's going on?
I was just showing the ab photo.
Yeah, it's like, what is this, a Calvin Klein ad? I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm always saying video or it didn't happen, and I was like, you know, I should probably post some proof of progress. Yeah. So,
Nice. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, you got it. If you've got it, flaunt it. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I'm getting there. So. Yeah.
But what about this race with your kids? I mean, now that you've...
Okay, well, people have no idea what you're talking about. So,
okay. Well, that's why I said.
Yeah, so, I gave... was talking with Colby. Sandy and I do a call with Colby, and I was kind of updating him on my sprint workouts. And I said, oh, you know, I've started sprinting again, and da, da, da. And he's like... You know, and he just started talking shit about how slow I am, I probably am, and how Aerie could, you know, his, you know, little sister could is faster than me and all this stuff. And I was like, dude, we're going to race when you get back. I was like, it's on. I said, we're going to, although I'm probably not as fast as him. I mean, he's obviously young and he's very fast. I confirmed it too. I talked to his performance coach. And he came to Aerie's gymnastics meet on Friday. And I said, so just to confirm, is Colby fast? He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He can run a sub. He's sub 1 second on the flying 10. He's you know, he's very fast. And I was like, oh, okay. So I mean, I knew he was pretty fast to fast. I just didn't know, right? And he, you know, for sure. And he's like, well... You know, it's like kids will say, oh, I did this or I did that, you know, and then sometimes you want to check with adults. Like, is he really?
Well, that's something you have to video. Like, you have to video that race
kids. That's what I was figuring. I mean, I'll definitely do a video of all that, but I figured, you know, and that's why this morning I said, you know what, I'll just post it. I'll just post a visual update. You know, I don't have any video, but I've been thinking about doing some video of, like, you know, some weightlifting stuff. But I just haven't. Yeah. Every time I'm weightlifting, I'm too focused on weightlifting, and I forget to even videotape anything. And plus, to do that, you kind of have to have your phone propped up. You have to have like a tripod or something, or you used to have a workout buddy. You know, I don't have a workout buddy, so I'm like, it's not me. It doesn't really.
Well, so Dave's been posting his videos of him doing his.
Yeah, but his are so close up that it's.
What are they called? Those things?
Squats. Back squats.
Squats. Oh, okay. But it's like over the back of your neck. Jesus. I mean, my, like, if I was doing what he's doing, my knees would be popping out.
Right. Can you not even squat with an air squat without a, I'm not talking about even putting any bar on your back or any weight. Can you just do a back?
I think I probably could. I mean, I haven't tried lately, but I probably could. But with that amount of weight, oh my God.
Yeah. No, obviously you couldn't do that because you haven't trained, but you know.
He's trying to do 5 at 90 kilograms, which is, I don't know how many pounds.
That's 198, give or take.
Oh, yeah, 198. So it's like, whoa. That's good. And he's like, I don't know, this is bad, probably bad to say, but I think of him like, not, you know, just like a little person. I'm sure he'll be cracking up when I say that. But like, he isn't. He can move some weight.
Well, I mean, it's not that much weight. I mean, it's weight for his size and weight, but I mean, it's 200 pounds. So, I mean, I think he's just starting out, right? I mean, he's just been getting into weightlifting a few months. So it's not like he's squatting 500 pounds or something. It's just to you, who's somebody who doesn't lift any weights, obviously it seems like a lot. Not taking anything away from it. He's on his journey. He's getting there. I mean, it'll, you know, it's good and it's hard. Doing sets of five, doing back squats are real, right? I mean, back squats are, I mean, that's a really hard exercise, and that's why most people don't do them. You go to the gym, slot a lot of people back squatting, especially doing like grass.
What do you do back squat?
I haven't been doing any back squat. Oh, how much? Well, I was doing like sets of five of like 285. Yeah, 285 pounds.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's which a lot. It's not great. I mean, my back squat is, like, relative to my other lifts, not what it should be. That's why it's like my, that's the low hanging fruit for me when I talk about like jump training is building up my general strength in my posterior chain, and particularly like the back squat. And, I've just been doing this single leg press as sort of a proxy for it. Because I've been doing that work on my back, and I was like, you know, I don't know if I want to do anything that's really going to aggravate my back while I'm working on this back program, because I don't want to have too much stimulus kind of interference going on, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what did you tweak? What happened?
Oh, with my quad. Okay. So, just to finish up on the race thing. So, we're going to, maybe we'll do something spring break, but maybe we'll wait till do it over the summer. Cause Colby was like, you know, well, I'm not running right now and this and that. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll do it the summer after you.
Oh, he wants to train.
I don't know. He's just, it's like a lot of people, they talk shit and then they back up, they take a step or two back if they're not like working out. I mean, I'm sure he's faster than me now, but, you know, maybe
he shouldn't train. Just let him not train, and then you train, and just see if you can beat your 18-year-old kid.
Well, I don't want any excuses. I don't want any excuses. Okay. Let's get out there. You know, let's see. I mean, I'm sure he'll be faster than me. But we'll see how much faster. I mean, if I'm like close to him, then he's not gonna be able to talk any shit, right? If he's
is Sandy gonna be on this race?
No. Well, it's so funny when I told her about it. When I told her, she's just like, oh, God. She just puts her finger to her side of her head, and she's like, oh, close it, like, headache, like, oh, no. And she's like, somebody's going to get hurt. And then I was telling Airly about it, and Airly had the exact same reaction. She's like, oh, no. Somebody's going to pop a hamstring. That's so funny. It's just her mother's daughter. Yeah, so maybe we'll do it, you know, early in the summer or something, which is not that far away. And it'll give me plenty of time to train. But anyway, so I was doing hill sprints on Thursday night, and I went to this one, it was kind of a driveway coming up out of a underground parking for a big office complex. And this is like, you know, 7 o'clock at night, so there's nobody there. And it was pretty steep. And it wasn't super long. I was only maybe 25 meters, maybe 30 meters, at least the part that I would run, so I have enough time to stop without running into the street. And so I was like, I'll do like eight. I'll do like two sets of four. And after I did the first set, I'm like, yeah, I feel good, you know? And the problem was I probably should have done maybe five or six and then cut it. But I decided to do more. And the thing I forgot about, because I had done the last 2 weeks, I'd done sets of five, is I wasn't going 100%. I was going like 90, 95%. And on these, I was going 100%. And the problem with going 100% is you risk pulling a muscle. And I probably should have, if I was going to do eight, kept it at like 85%. If I was going to go 100%, which is, I probably shouldn't be going 100% right now. I should probably spend another 4 to 6 weeks just building up a base. But that was just kind of dumb. And so on the seventh one, I feel this little twinge in my right quad. And I was like, oh, damn it. You know? Mm. So that really sucked. I mean, it's not that big a deal in the scheme of things, but it'll set me back 2 to 3 weeks, which is a little bit of a bummer. But I had a leg day yesterday, so I just kind of did everything. It worked around it. I mean, I can't do anything in my quads, but I'm just doing everything else.
Okay.
So.
Cool. So you're generally on track.
Yeah, Project Superheroes. Well, let's see. I mean, I broke 190 pounds this past week. Got down to 190, my new PR of 189.6. That was awesome. Hitting PRs on strength and on different types of, you know, exercise, and basically on most of them. Starting to do more plyometrics, doing more sprinting. I'm getting in really good athletic condition. I haven't tested my vertical or anything, but I'm pretty soon going to have to give that a shot and sort of get
a new baseline. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So my goal was to be able to get the rim by the end of March. So I'll need to test again and hopefully I can get close. We'll see though. But yeah, I mean, the sort of athletic training, which is kind of morphed into not just vertical jump training, but sprint training as well, is great for me because, like, I mean, I've already reached sort of like a good body fat percentage in general health. So then it'd be easy for me to just kind of lose interest because it's boring, right? Something to shoot for. It's like, okay, I'll just go and, I don't know, lift weights a little bit and, you know, do some cardio, which is, you know, good for health, but it's not super, motivating for somebody like me. And, I need an athletic goal to shoot for to keep me focused. So that's why it's great to be doing this.
Nice.
Anyway.
Nice.
So yeah, so it's been a good year so far. I mean, the, vertical jump training, the fitness stuff, Math Academy, everything has been making really good, strides forward. So,
love it.
Yeah, I'm on pace. We'll see. I mean, dunking a basketball or whatever. Yeah.
So, what shall we talk about next? You want me to do some links?
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
It's still really awkward. That just for listeners at home, the general discussion is awkward.
It is awkward. It feels like you're not even listening, which I know is not the case. But it's like I can tell.
It makes no sense why there's even the lag when we both have such good setups.
Why don't we cut it short today?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because it's really difficult to have this conversation. It feels really forced. And Sandy said we're getting some bug reports on some stuff that code was uploaded not too long ago, and I should probably just go deal with that.
Okay. And just so you know, like what it's doing for me is, like you said, why don't we cut it short today? And then I just get silence, 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 and then it like catches up everything and stuff, and I get you like that.
Yeah. it's just really difficult.
So yeah, it's been difficult talking to you today, Jason.
Yeah. In terms of, I just have one show recommendation, is Slow Horses. Sandy and I are watching the season 3 of Slow Horses with Gary Oldman. That's fantastic. It's a British show, like of their MI5 agents. And it's just really good. I would
I've heard nothing good. I've heard nothing but good things about Slow Horses.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very well done. Definitely recommend it.
Okay, let me see what I can recommend versus
Ready Player One. Got another Ready Player One review. Got a review okay. from 1997.
Mythic Quest on Apple TV.
Okay.
Is good.
What is
I
that?
Recommend it. Have you seen it?
No. What is it?
Okay, it is you know from We Are Wrexham, Rob McElhinney.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So basically, he is like creative director for a games agency. So it's sort of like Silicon Valley in a way, but
the
games
world.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the first episode of that, yeah, a while back.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's not like amazing, but it is good. It's definitely entertaining.
Yeah. I remember Colby and I watched it, and then and I think I watched it with him, and he wasn't really feeling it. I thought it was okay, and he was just like, eh. So we didn't get it. But you give it what, a B? What's your
at least a C plus.
Why are you recommending mediocre crap?
Why?
Hey guys, here's a mediocre crap show on Netflix. You might like it.
Because sometimes you just want to kill time.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. A B. Well, no, it's just I feel bad. A B. A B. I'll upgrade
it's not
to
a B,
B to make it worthy of the recommendation.
It's not a B. You know, it's not a B. Come on. Let's be honest. All right. That's a wrap.
Okay.
We're out.